You're listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida. Online at ESPNSWFL.com.
Got any rights yet? I do.
Just like that little Greta told me down by the coal creek. It don't matter if your poles are dusty. Beer in the tackle box out on the fair. I'm baiting that hook with only the right look. Pour in the sunshine, ripples in the sweet tide. Baba's going out of sight. Even if it tastes all night. Ooh, I'm gonna catch me a winner. Cause I kinda like a bit. And I don't mess.
Good morning, good morning. And welcome back to Real Talk Radio. Captain Debbie Hansen in the studio this morning with guest co-host Captain Alex Stilinski of Spot On Charters. Rolling into the 9 o'clock hour.
Sweet.
Yeah, we got Captain Steve standing by with the tournament and event rundown. So I'm going to go ahead and grab his call and we'll jump right into that. I know there's lots going on across the state, so we'll get the update from him. Hey, Captain Steve, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Captain Debbie and Captain Alex.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Hey there.
How's things?
How's everybody doing?
We're doing great. We are doing great.
Living the dream.
Yep. Well, you're right. We got a lot going on. This is definitely tournament time of year for everybody.
Yep.
You know, our April is a top-of-the-line month as far as tournaments go. So locally, we've got coming up next week, Betty Bowman's going to be here at the Bass Pro Shop locally. So ladies, if you're interested in learning a little bit about fishing and some low-pressure education and great event that she puts together, next Saturday, the 26th, the Bass Pro, she has a great event. I think she still has some seats available. I know, Debbie, you'll be there helping out, and I'll be there in the afternoon helping out a little bit, too. So
Looking
forward to that. Nautical Mile Expo, they have an expo going on in the Cape on the 26th as well that afternoon. In April, we've got a lot going on. The FGCU Fishing Invitational, the Fallen Eagle, is happening on April the 2nd. We also have Bass Pro has their kids fishing event that they've started back up now. So that happens, I think, the first Saturday of every month is how they're doing it now. So that happens on the 2nd of April as well. And on April the 7th, something kind of different. I don't know if a lot of people have heard about this, but it's the Florida Skiff Challenge. And it's where a lot of these skiff manufacturers put a tournament together. It's through Captains for Clean Water. It's not really a tournament. It's a race around the entire state of Florida. So they run these small skiffs from the Panhandle all the way down through the Keys and back up the other coast. It's quite interesting if you've never watched it.
It's amazing.
I mean, these guys are getting beat up pretty good out there, and they take a beating. Some of them make it all the way. Some of them don't. But it's quite the challenge to watch. If you're interested in it, there's a lot of information on Facebook. Go to Captains for Clean Water. They're one of the big supporters of that. So
definitely a testament to the skiffs that are running that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. And I think they provide updates I don't know if it's hourly, but definitely every couple of hours on their Facebook page and social media channels. So if you want to follow it, head over to Captains for Clean Water, head over to their Facebook page or their Instagram, and you'll get the updates.
Yeah, it's very, very interesting. On the 9th of April, we've got the Flats Masters Tournament Series number 1 starting, and that's out of Punta Gorda. And then we also have the Southwest Florida Slam Inshore Fishing Tournament out of Fort Myers. And we have the 24th annual Bobby Holloway, and that's happening out of the Boquilla area. So that's happening on the 9th as well. On the 22nd, we've got, it's actually the 22nd, 23rd, the 24th annual Gene Doyle Backcountry Fishing Tournament out of Goodland. That's been going on a long time. Great little tournament down there in the Goodland area, down there by Marco. On the 23rd, we've got Fish Like Mad, Mothers Against Drunk Driving Tournament, and that's happening in Fort Myers. And also on the 23rd, we've got the Green Wave High School Inshore Fishing Classic happening on the 23rd of April. Central West area, we've got several things going on. The 26th, we've got the Power Pole Pro Redfish Tour Go Live. That's another Facebook event where you can watch the fishermen all day long fishing live from the Facebook pages. We also have the Trio Fishing Tournament for Champ, and that's out of Keaton Beach, and that's up near Steinhatchee. And the 31st, we've got the Monster Kingfish Tournament, and that's happening out of Madeira area. In April, up here on the Central West area, we've got on the 2nd, we've got the second annual Fosters to Adopt fishing tournament. That's in Homosassa. On the 9th, we've got the 15th annual All Release Canterbury Cup, and that's in St. Petersburg. And then over on the East Coast, we've got several things going on over there. Coming up next weekend, we've got the Cobia Clash on the 20th in St. Augustine. The 25th, we've got the annual SAHS, that's a high school fishing or high school football fishing tournament, and that's in St. Augustine. We have the 24th annual Count the Spots on the 26th out of Pat Flagler Beach. We have a surf fishing challenge in New Smyrna on the 26th. 8th annual Inshore Extreme Challenge in Jacksonville on the 26th.
Wow.
And there's a lot going on over on the East Coast. So the only other one I want to mention is over on the East Coast. We have a couple of redfish tours going on. The 9th in Jacksonville, we have the Redfish Series on the 9th of April. And on the 22nd, the Elite Series. They travel from Texas all the way to Florida. They're a great, great event series, and they're happening the 22nd and 23rd in Jacksonville. And on the 23rd, we have the Redfish Classic Flagler Beach Rodeo happening there. So a lot of things going on in the Keys and the Panhandle, too. So check it out. Go to fish-florida.com. Look at the tournaments you might be interested in. Click on them. All the information is there, contact information, everything like that. So if you're interested, check it out.
Fantastic, Steve. Thank you so much for the update, and then we'll look forward to catching. Will we catch up with you next Saturday, or are you going to be at Betty's seminar in the morning?
No, I won't be there in the morning. I'll be there in the afternoon.
So we'll talk to you again next Saturday morning, and then I will see you next Saturday afternoon at Bass Pro.
Sounds good. One quick thing on the etiquette that everybody's talking about, and I know you kind of touched a little bit on it, but
yes,
everybody that's buying these new boats, know what your boat can do. Know where your boat can go.
Yes.
Know the tides. We're trying to protect this seagrass that's out here, particularly in Southwest Florida. We still have some good seagrass beds out there. I hate seeing people running inboards, IOs, stuff like that on some of these flats. They think they can get across there, and all they're doing is churning up mud. So know what your boat can do. Know what it's capable of. Know the tides. Know when you can run and where you can run. And always look behind you. Make sure you're not chewing up dirt and bottom and grass.
Agreed.
Those grass flats are so important to our estuary here. They are the lifeblood of our fishing in this area. So protect those grass flats at all costs.
Thanks for bringing that up, Steve. Very,
absolutely.
Very
good point.
Good point, especially with all the boat traffic that's out there these days. So thank you for that. And yes, you have a great rest of the weekend, and we'll catch up with
all
you
right.
next Saturday, Steve. Thank you.
Okay. Yep.
Okay.
And we'll see you next Saturday at Bass Pro.
You absolutely will. Take care. Have a good weekend.
All right, thanks.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That is Captain Steve Johnson with fish-florida.com calling in. Wow, lots going on.
Yes.
Lots going on. Lots
that
of opportunities serious. For people to get out there and start fishing some tournaments, get into tournament fishing. All right, we got useless information coming up here in a few minutes, but I wanted to touch on a few other things. Alex, I wanted to ask you if you had any recommendations. I know I've been on your boat. Your boat is like meticulous. Your boat
clean.
Is so organized and so clean.
Clean boat is a safe boat.
Yes, but are there any things that people can be doing? So like right when you take your boat out of the water, like any quick cleanups that people can do, you know, before they even bring their boat back to their house or back to the dock or whatever, just to keep like food, drink, fish line, bait, anything from like drying on the boat. Like what kinds of things do you do like during the course of the day when you're out there just to minimize
trash,
the cleanup after the fact?
All my trash goes in a bucket in a hatch so it doesn't blow away. All my extra fish and line goes in a Ziploc bag that's in a tackle area that I have that won't blow away. So everything is stowed so nothing will blow. That's the biggest thing. Everything blows out of a boat.
Right.
And then when you trailer it, obviously it's going to blow out too. So doing all
that
is a big thing, keeping it clean. And then when I'm on the trailer before on the way home, I always hit a do-it-yourself car wash.
Yep.
And just spray it off with that high-pressure water.
Do you keep a wet rag on board to wipe down like any spilled live bait or
I keep a couple towels on board. One for when the people walk to the boat, I put the towel down and try to get them to wipe their feet on that towel.
Yeah.
Even though you tell them, a lot of them like step over it, but that tries to get some of the dirt out because dirt in a boat's hard to get out.
Yeah.
Obviously, so I'll do that and shake that towel overboard, and then I have a wetter towel for the cleanup and stuff like that. And
yeah.
And, you know, blood or anything that a fish throws out.
Yeah, because when that dries in the sun, that's a whole lot harder to get
off. So just do that. And then there's a product called Roll Off, which I get from West Marine. It's a spray soap.
Yep.
And it's basically kind of a waxy thing, but it's not slick. So I spot spray, or when I do use soap, that's what I use. I do my deck with, so anything basically essentially comes off easier, but it's not slippery like wax. So I love it. It's called Roll Off.
Yeah, and speaking of slippery, I know that I always try to remind my clients, so if you're getting ready to book a charter, you're going on a boat, you're here visiting, bring sunscreen lotion. Do not bring the spray sunscreen.
Yeah, spray's awful.
Because that spray sunscreen, when you're spraying that on the boat, it gets on the boat deck and makes things really slippery, and it's also really hard to get off the boat.
It's, and it I will know, actually melt your plexi windows if you get too much on there, or etch it, not melt it.
Oh, yeah.
But quite honestly, sunscreen should be put on when you brush your teeth.
Yep.
Wipe yourself dry, real dry, and then put on a cream and rub it in. Spray. The people that put it on in the boat, generally they're a little moist or sweaty already.
Yep.
And I think that cuts the UV, got to, in half, because it's going on a sweaty body versus a dry body getting into your skin. So, yeah, sprays, I don't like those.
Yeah,
definitely.
It's
better than nothing, but
don't bring it
off
on the boat. Yeah. Or if you're going to use it before you get on the boat,
just put it on.
Put it on your hand, and then
get out of the car.
Wipe it on. Yeah, because right.
Don't put lotion on your hand or anything else, and then grab the rod,
or stick your hand in the bait bucket
or anything like that, because that just travels around.
Yeah, yeah. So. Very, very good points. All right. Well, Rick, I think we're going to, you know, we're going to do Gator Tom a favor here. And I know it's 9:14, but let's do it.
Yeah, well, you know he's listening.
We already got the reminder.
We did, but I think he tried to disguise himself as a relative. Captain Deb, please don't disappoint my sensitive nephew, Gator Tom. Love, Nana Chiquita. But you know, you do know we have caller ID, or you know, texter ID, right, Gator Tom? So
yeah, so you're not fooling anyone.
So unless Nana Chiquita borrowed your
phone,
yeah, we know it's you, but we're still pleased to do it for you.
Yeah.
I've grown tired of you. What's wrong with you? You are useless.
Useless.
And now, from the world's ultimate book of useless information, here's your host and mine, Captain Debbie Hansen, with useless information. Pay attention, Alex.
And this is
He's kind of waning over there like he's lost interest all of a sudden. Sit up straight, man.
Oh, no. Wait till he hears these lovely tidbits of useless information.
He'll be dazzled by the end.
He will be, because this is actually the creeping and crawling edition.
All right.
And we're going to kick it off with the fact that termites eat through wood twice as fast when they're listening to rock music.
Oh, come on now, really? Oh,
so gosh. If you even suspect that you have termites, you better use your AirPods.
Now, who would do a study like that?
Right?
I mean, who would, you know, how would you do a study like that?
Wow. I know. I would like to know how that went down.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't know.
The vibration probably gets them.
Vibration, moving. Yeah.
Gets them riled up. The
or
bass,
a little Lawrence Welk. There you go.
Right. All right. All right. Number two, the only insect that can turn its head is a praying mantis. Yes, it's true. Mantids can turn their heads 180 degrees to scan their surroundings. They've got two large compound eyes and three other simple eyes located between them.
Wow.
Typically, they are green or brown and well camouflage on the plants among which they live.
Yes, they are.
And they lie in ambush and patiently wait to stalk their prey.
The only insect that can turn its head.
Yeah.
That's amazing. It has five eyes, right? Was that correct?
It's got five eyes. Yeah, the two big eyes and then three other smaller eyes. Wow. That's it.
I'd like to have three on the back of my head.
You sometimes need one doing helpful. What you do. Right. Yeah. And then last, but certainly not least, a snail can sleep for 3 years.
I like it.
Oh, man.
That's what I'm going to do when I retire.
It's true. Snail.
I want to be a snail.
Just the first 3 years, I'm sleeping like a snail.
Snails need moisture to survive. So what happens is if the weather isn't conducive, they can actually sleep or kind of go into a hibernation type mode for up to 3 years.
That's amazing.
I guess they call it estivation versus hibernation, but it helps them to survive, I guess, basically in warmer climates. Mm. So they go into like that sort of estivation hibernation mode.
Wow.
So there you go.
I have whole new respect for the snail. Lucky cats.
Hilarious. Mm. Oh, we also, I wanted to mention, just got a text from Female Ref. She said, good morning, Captain Debbie. Great information this morning. Heading to the Keys next month to do some fishing. Hope to send a few great pictures. Fishing is life! Yeah, she put it in her text message, and that's what she said. Gabe Kaplan's agent, he said, so what you're saying is snails sleep almost as long as an American teenager.
pretty close.
Yeah. All right. And next up. Dun, 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 dun. We're going to move on to Name That Species Trivia. Yes, it's time. Brought to you by Sportsman's Wholesale, Southwest Florida's largest discount tackle shop, now with two locations in Port Charlotte and Bonita Springs. Shop where the locals shop. So we're going to take the fifth caller or the first caller after that to get through to Rick with the correct answer. You win a $50 gift card to Sportsman's Wholesale if you can name the species based on my description. Number 239-337-3776. This native Florida fish species has a metallic blue color on its back, fading to a white belly. The body is deep and compressed. The front of its head is steep and rounded. The dorsal fin begins in front of the anal fin. Juveniles have a long, thread-like rays at the front of dorsal and anal fins. They grow up to 42 inches, right around 40 pounds. The young are found in open waters. Adults found at depths of 180 feet, often near reefs, wrecks, and ledges. They are great fighters, good to eat, often found in schools or over structure. Name that species!
You'll have to come in and give me the answer before I start answering the phones.
I will. I just didn't want... Yeah.
I was late for our pre-show prep meeting this morning.
Powwow.
So sorry
about
that.
Powwow. All right. We're going to head off to another break. You are listening to Real Talk on ESPN Southwest Florida and on the ESPN Southwest Florida app. We'll be back.
I'm leaving on a jet plane. Don't know if I'll be back again. Say, won't you, babe, I do go. But I want you really want to say that I am leaving on a jet plane. Don't know if I'll be back again. Say, won't you, babe, I do go.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida. Everywhere with the ESPN Southwest Florida app.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome back to Real Talk Radio. This is Captain Debbie Hansen in the studio this morning with my special guest host, Captain Alex Stilinski of Spot on Charters.
Good morning.
Rolling into the last half hour. I know. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. And so, Rick, do we have a winner?
We have a winner. You know, last week I was concerned you may have had them stumped.
Yeah.
If you remember, we cycled through a whole bunch of calls.
We did.
And I was like going, uh-oh.
Before we finally got to Bofin.
We finally got a last-minute winner. Today, the second caller with an answer got it right. That was John from Naples.
Woo!
John said, I believe that's an African pompano. I go, oh, yeah.
Way to go, John. Congratulations.
John. We got a $50 gift card for you at Sportsman's Wholesale.
Nice job.
Buy a lot of nice stuff for $50 there, huh?
Yeah, you can. They've got some amazing deals. Definitely go and check them out. They are right off of 41, just south of Bonita Beach Road, next to the Kentucky Fried Chicken. They've got all kinds of
chicken. And the Popeyes chicken. Yeah.
And the Popeyes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's a new...
I like their chicken. I think they just opened up.
Yeah, it's a brand new one, Popeyes.
Yeah. All right, so, Alex, we got a couple of more topics I wanted to touch on this morning for sure. So what do you think is probably the most overlooked tool or tackle item in your fishing arsenal? Maybe something that you don't think people pay enough attention to that they should be paying more attention to.
That's easy. And Dave was talking about that from Lear's is your fishing line. I see people all the time where I'm going over tackle with them and stuff and ask them how old their line is, and I'll get, oh, 2-3 seasons. You know, so, you spend all that money on a boat.
Right.
All that money to fish, all that money to chart, whatever it is, you know, or fly somewhere. That's the first thing you need to put money into is replacing that line and doing it more often. The sun deteriorates it.
Yes.
Non-use deteriorates it. Use deteriorates it. So that's probably the one most overlooked and overused thing, I would say.
Yeah, and I know when you're using braid specifically, that's what I use for all my clients who go out and they're fishing with spinning gear. You can start to tell. I really look at that line.
Yeah.
When the color starts to fade, that slick coating starts to wear off, and you start to see those little fibers start to get fuzzy on the line.
You got it.
Yeah, and you'll notice it's
not. You
can not
back
casting.
Reel that onto another reel, like Dave was saying. Losing the back half is still usable. He's right. So pull 100 feet off, then tie that on to another reel and reel that on that reel, and then you'll have the better half of that 100, 150 yards, whatever was put on there, and you can use both sides of it.
That's a really good tip. Yeah. Is there a certain type of braid that you like to use, Alex,
from a brand standpoint? I always have, just because.
Yeah. Same. I've tried.
I buy it by the spool just because I recap mine.
Yeah.
You know, basically at least once a month.
Yep. Yep, and it's important always. Lately, you know, for a while, Power Pro was getting hard to find.
Well, at least, you
know, for me, I'll use either, you know, 6 or 8 because I do a lot of light tackle finesse, and it was hard to find.
Yeah, I buy the big spools and just buy it.
So if you find it now, stock up and make sure you've got plenty on hand. Definitely. All right. And then, you know, Alex, we were talking a lot about boater etiquette and what to do when you're at the ramp, when you're at the dock, things to do to be courteous of fellow boaters. And I know, you know, so give us a guideline. You were talking about the fact that, you know, you've been out there even offshore and people have been come up so close to you that they're like within talking distance. So what's a good guideline for people who don't know?
If you were approaching a public area, you know, a reef or something like that, and there's a boat sitting on it, slow down out of ways. I don't care if you're a guide or a weekender or first time. Don't blow in on them. You don't want somebody doing that to you. So come in slow and don't get any closer to them than, you know, you would want somebody to you.
Right.
The shallower the water, the more sensitive that is. A couple of weeks ago, I had a new captain who's an older person, but a new captain kind of literally plow in on me in a spot because I was in somebody else's boat and he didn't know it and says to me, oh, if I knew it was you, I wouldn't have done that. Well, A, you shouldn't have done that to begin with.
To anyone.
You shouldn't have been plowing, literally making a trench to get in there because you saw me on fish. You know, just slow down, think about what you're doing before you do it, and just think of others.
Yep.
Because, you know, that person could have sat there, like in my case, I sat there an hour and a half earlier than I needed to be there, not catching exactly what I wanted to catch because I knew when the tide got right, I would get what I wanted, and this person ruined that for me and my charter. It just made it more, you know, so think about how you're going to affect somebody else when you go by. And in another big thing, put the phones down when you're driving boats. Stop looking at the phone. Stop playing with the stereo. Pay attention because there's so much cross traffic and people out there now. And there's always somebody with a faster boat that's coming up on you. Nobody looks behind them in the boat. Very rarely do people. And you should look behind you before you turn. You should look behind you before you slow down. Because the guy behind you may be looking on his phone.
Yep.
So
really,
it's all helpful stuff for everybody to
keep in mind. Good reminders for all the time. Yeah. So speaking of all these people who are, you know, who are coming into the area, they're buying boats. So say if somebody's moving down to Southwest Florida, Alex, and they want to buy a boat, they're not sure what to get. What would you recommend or suggest to help give them some advice in terms of where to start in buying the right type of boat for the type of fishing that they want to do?
I generally tell people, first of all, you need to find out what kind of fishing you want to do, because being in the boating business and my father being in the, you know, selling business, many people buy three boats before they get the one that they actually find out they wanted. They buy the wrong one the first time. So find out what kind of fishing you want to do. Maybe charter a couple different boats doing that type of fishing you want to do to make sure that that's something you actually physically, yes, that's what I want to do with my family. One. Two, the other thing would be is join a boat club for a year. A boat club that has five or six different types of boats. Mm-hmm. Try them and see how that is. And then, you know, then third of all, tell the salesman or talk to somebody like myself who can lead you to the right salesperson. And this is what I think I want to do. This is where I'm going to live, you know, and that'll help you. And probably now one of the biggest factors on buying a boat is where are you going to keep it?
Yeah.
Most of these marinas now that I deal with in Lee and Collier County have 5 to 8 year waiting list to get a boat in it.
Wow.
Okay, so if you don't have a storage spot or a dock behind your house, you may not, you know, need to think of
check into all those things in advance. Yeah. And I
know, the expense of that
may
be a consideration on what you buy.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good idea to, you know, get all the specifics on the particular boat that you're interested in and call the insurance company to find out what your insurance costs are going to be.
There's hurricane
if you're going to store it,
plans
call
that
a
you
marina.
Have to have if it goes over a certain dollar figure and if you're financing it. And yes.
Yeah.
There's a lot to it. So just, you know,
it's not just that initial purchase price. You know, there's things you need to consider and budget for gas, certainly right now. I know. I'm thankful that I have the small boat that I do. I can get into all those nooks and crannies.
Storage is going to be a big thing right now for any size boat. Period.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Storage and just the amount of fuel.
Everybody
that
wants
folks
to be in Lee
burning.
And Collier, and it's evident because everybody's moving here. And we went from being able to, almost any marina can house a new boat to, like I say, 5 to 8 years, some of these places waiting list to get in.
Wow. So that's a ways. Definitely. And then I know, Alex, you were down in the Keys, what was it, 2 or 3 weeks ago?
About 2 weeks ago.
About
yeah.
2 weeks ago, and you did a reef fishing trip. I know you were on some hog snapper. So what was the fishing like down there? And kind of give us the scoop.
Oh, it's great. We ran, me and my friend Jamel, Captain Jamel, we ran a client's 40-footer down there. He's down there for about 2 months. So we drove the boat down there, spent 3 days doing reef fishing and inside the reef line. Doing what we call the patch reefs. So we did like yellowtail, snapper, and stuff like that. And the 3 days that we fished, we limited out on snapper pretty much every day, yellowtail and mangs. And that's basically anchoring up over what you can see a dark spot in the bottom and just chumming, and then throwing out shrimp and stuff and letting that bait descend the same speed as your chum does. That's the key and the lightest tackle you can use. And if you do make it to the bottom, we put up several rigs that specifically went down to the bottom. And every day we had 3 or 4 nice hogfish and, you know, yellowjack and stuff like that. And free line something behind the boat with no weight when you're doing that. And your chum slick will get you the Spanish and Saro. Mackerel and Saro are very, very good mackerel, very good sushi. That's, you know, highly sought after fish.
Which so. You know a little bit about.
A little bit about. Yep,
you,
we
crazy
right
Alberto and Greg.
yeah. So, but the reef fishing down there right now, and the reef meaning right on the edge where it drops off, and then patch fishing is inside the reef line. It basically is shallows, anywhere from 10 to 30 feet. And it's just off the hook. I mean, you can get dinner for your group, you know, just in a couple hours out there. But chumming is the key down there. And again, your bait going out and descending into the chum line the same speed as the chunks of chum coming out. And that's the key to get the
right
bigger
there.
Yellowtail and the bigger mangs. Mm-hmm. Something that drops quick and out of the norm, a predator species is going to pick that up, a shark or something, because it's moving quicker. But all those big yellowtail and mangs and muttons are, you know, feeding on that way behind the boat. So if your shrimp descends back like that, that's what you want to do. And any of the tackle stores down there will tell you this is the jig you want to use and how to do it. And by the way, we couldn't get live bait the first 2 days because it was too windy. The bait people didn't go.
Yeah.
We used frozen from a grocery store down there that we happened to be able to get it at.
Which is how today's topic originated.
We produced just as good as I would have done with life. So
that's awesome. That's great. And it's so cool to see you guys catching those hog snapper. Because...
Oh, that's and you know, the sad part was they were closed in the Atlantic, and we were a mile and a half from the bridges, which make it Atlantic or Gulf.
Oh,
yeah. And that was like the first time we've got them on hook, and we were getting
That's like
them.
Your mouth is watering, and then you're like, bye.
I actually threw one in the cooler, and then I said, well, let me check my, you know, my fish app.
Yeah,
and,
the was, Fish and Rules app.
Oh,
the good
my
old
gosh.
Fish
and
Rules app.
Closed in Atlantic, and I'm like, okay, you're back over. But, yeah, it was,
yeah,
that's the first time for me that I've caught that many.
On hook and line.
All 3 days. Every time we went out in different spots, this was like boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, that's really awesome. That is really cool. It sounds like you guys had a great trip. And now are you seeing, you know, I would imagine, you know, here lately with all the increased boat traffic and boat and fishing pressure that we're seeing, when you go down to the Keys, I'm sure you're seeing a lot of that same type of thing.
Yeah,
I'm sure a lot of the marinas are crowded.
Us.
So are you having to scale down on your leader, on your line size in order to get the bites just because of all the pressure, or not so much? You're finding the fish are still responding
here,
to what they used
high
to.
Scent anywhere else, like out in the reefs and stuff. Yes.
Yeah.
The thinner, I'm not a big component of, I use mostly mono filament line, but going to the fluorocarbon definitely made a big difference down there. And then like tomorrow we're running out for tuna and stuff out in about 300 to 400 foot of water, and I'll be, whether I'm pulling bait tomorrow trolling or I'm fishing down, will be all fluorocarbon because it's crystal clear water out there.
Yep.
So but in here, anywhere where our water's muddy, it's more about right now
the scent
than it is right.
Yep.
But I use 20-pound leader here or smaller, generally speaking, you know, backwater and reef.
Mm-hmm. So. And even that 20-pound you find with the snook, because I saw you had some you had some clients bringing some
nice snook
coming in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then offshore, I'll use whatever you want to use, 40, 60, 80, but I use longer leader. Like my weight and swivel is anywhere from 6 to 20 feet away from the hook. The clearer the water is, the further away you want that hook from.
You've got to be more conscious of having less terminal tackle.
Makes a big difference,
there.
Right?
Yeah,
right.
That's really, really good advice. So, yeah, I know the few weeks that are coming up, we're going to have, I'm sure, like Nick was talking about this morning, the snook are going to be start moving in onto the beaches. We're going to see a lot more bait. What's the bait situation out there like right now, Alex?
Pretty much everywhere. Pinfish are in the grassy areas if you can get them, or trap them or net them. We'll see them plenty.
Thread
of white
fins,
bait off
pilchards.
I can't throw a net personally because I have a lower back issue, so that twist, so I don't do that. But the guys are out there. They're getting them off the beaches. And yesterday I sat at a local beach while my clients were swimming and doing it, and the bait was everywhere. So they're here. Just look for the cleaner water and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's
it's all coming together. Everything that should be moving through is, and pretty good numbers too. We've come a long way since the red tide kill and stuff.
Yeah,
and the amount of everything.
It's definitely a testament to all of the changes that have been made with regards to water quality. Because you're right, the water looks so good out there, and the fishing has been really good. So it's awesome stuff. All right.
Yes.
All right. Well, we have got to head off to another break. You are listening to Real Talk on ESPN Southwest Florida and on the ESPN Southwest Florida app. We'll be back.
Here we go. Well, I won $2 on a scratch-off ticket, so I went back to the counter and I bought two more with it, and I won $10 and that was just right, so I bought a six-pack and a bag of ice.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida, everywhere with the ESPN Southwest Florida app.
May the good Lord be with you down every road you roll. Welcome back to Real Talk Radio. This is Captain Debbie Hansen in the studio this morning with Captain Alex Stilinski of Spot On Charters.
Good
wrapping
morning.
Up the final 10 minutes of the show here. I wanted to mention that folks can head on over to the Real Talk Radio Facebook page, which is just facebook.com/ESPN Real Talk Radio, and you can find a list of all the guests that we've got coming up on the show. And then I also wanted to mention that the Florida Trophy Catch Program, now this is for trophy largemouth bass, 8 pounds or over, has announced in celebration of their 10th season, they have distributed 10 pink tags on bass around the state of Florida. And if you catch a bass that's tagged with one of those pink tags, you can win up to $70,000 in prizes. And, of course, all the information you can find on the Trophy Catch Florida website and on the Trophy Catch Florida Facebook page. But they've announced that they released tagged fish in Newman's Lake, Lake George, Lake Talquin, and Lake Walk in Water. So if you are out there targeting trophy bass, keep that in mind and definitely head on over to the Trophy Catch Florida website so that you can get all of the specifics. That's pretty exciting.
It is. That's cool.
That's very cool. And I've seen quite a few big bass, like I was saying earlier, being caught lately because those fish are in pre-spawn and spawn mode. So that's exciting. But Alex, I know as we round out the show here, I wanted to touch on just a few things with regards to, you know, boating safety. So for someone who's a seasoned boater, you're getting out there with your spouse, your significant other, your family. What are some things that you would recommend people know before they get out there?
Got it. Seasoned or new, a float plan with somebody on land, where I'm going, when I expect to be back, how many people in the boat, that kind of thing. You can also do that online.
Yep.
With a Coast Guard. So a float plan with somebody you know that expects you, and then text them, call them when you're coming back. Two, somebody in your boat needs to know how to run that boat, or at minimal use the radio and know what position you're in, especially if you're going offshore, in case something happens to the person driving the boat.
Yes.
A heart attack, falls over, anything could happen, just black out.
Yeah.
So your spouse, somebody on that boat should know how to handle the boat, should know where the location, all these new GPSs have a present location.
Yep.
That always pops up, how to use the radio, how to hail. So that should, and I teach that in all my courses is, and also taking a sticker machine and your registration numbers that are on the side of your boat, you want to take those and put them on a sticker and put that over the radio.
If you've got like
because
a label
that's
maker
one of the things
something.
That when you radio somebody, they're going to ask for, what are you in? Well, it's a 30 Grady,
and
let's say,
it right
and
there.
It's FL but right there versus having to hang over in a panic situation.
And that's a really good tip. And there's also, I know the U.S. Coast Guard Auxiliary, there's one down here near Wiggins Pass. They offer a course called Suddenly in Command.
Yes.
And it's a nominal fee to take it. I would recommend that anyone sign up for that class. And I think it's just like a night or two of, maybe 3 hours, and they cover a lot of really important topics in case you were ever in the situation where you needed to take over the control of the boat. Say the captain, had a medical issue or got thrown overboard, whatever. It's just a fantastic course. I can't recommend it highly enough. We also have – we had a quick text coming in from Gabe Kaplan's agent. He said, I guess this is a little bit of a different question. I do DoorDash part-time, and we've been getting deliveries from grocery and convenience stores. Why haven't any tackle shops or bait shops tried using the same type of services? I think it would be convenience for both the stores and the fishermen or anglers. Yeah, I mean, that's a really good great idea. I mean, I would definitely use that at times. You probably have to have like a minimum purchase amount. And I know anglers are very specific about the gear that they use.
So there's a lot of options.
I know some of those apps have like chats. So if the person that was actually going to run to get the tackling gear could get into the chat and just confirm that what it is that they're picking up is the right thing.
Right.
Because, we're very particular
so
about what we need.
So he can
but
bring
it's a great
me a
concept.
Pizza and hooks if I need them.
Right, there you
I
go.
I like it. I like
That's
it.
That's a great right idea. Dinner and hooks for the next morning's trip.
Thinking.
That is awesome. All right, we're going to grab Captain John Fetter. He's standing by on line one. Hey, John, good morning.
Good morning, you two. How are we doing?
We're doing great. How are you? What's the latest scoop?
All's good. All's good. Been doing a lot of fish, shark fishing for me as of lately. It's been very good, very productive. You know, getting people a chance to catch some of those big toothy critters and fight a big fish is pretty fun for them. And, you know, most of them are tourists, and they're really enjoying themselves doing it. So if you're interested in doing something like that, now is definitely a great time to be doing it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So.
And how do folks get in touch with you, John? What's the best way for people to contact you if they want to book a trip?
You can give me, you know, through the internet, you know, catchingthecure.com. That's probably the easiest way to do it. So just find it that way. So it's been good. You know, yesterday I think we got 21 or 22 in a little over 4 hours. So
nice.
It's definitely been productive.
Yeah, that's lots of action. Different. Tons of fun.
Spinner sharks, black tips, hammerheads. We fought one for about 45 minutes and just couldn't turn it. So there's some big ones out there as well. So you just got to make sure you got the right gear and the right time to handle it.
Yep. Listen to that drag scream. Like Alex's alarm clock.
That's it, man. If that don't wake you up, I don't know what will.
That would be pretty good.
Well, awesome, John. Any other reports? Have you been catching any trout, redfish, snook, any other?
I haven't really been in the back, you know, since the wind finally stopped. I've been out front doing mostly everything.
Gotcha.
The nearshore reefs have been producing for me, you know, mackerel. We've been getting some pompano out front, some mackerel.
Nice.
And plenty of ladyfish for the sharking, so it's all kind of worked out. So
approximately
near shore for me.
Approximately what depth are you catching your sharks in? I get a lot of people ask
about
that.
15 to 18 feet of water.
Yeah, so shallow right near the
15
the coast.
To 18. Got
yep.
it.
Yep.
All
right. Right off the beach. So
where everyone's swimming, right?
Unfortunately. a little bit farther than that, but definitely close enough to concern some people with how they're catching them. So
yeah. Well, awesome, John. Thanks for calling in. Thank you for the update. We always appreciate it. Good to hear from you. And say hi to Jennifer, and you enjoy the rest of your weekend. What are you doing? You doing anything with the girls and the family? Got anything on the agenda?
No, I have a talk at Bass Pro today for their
spring fishing classic. Nice.
Yep. Mine starts at 11. I have a saltwater 101 for kind of beginners at 11.
All right.
11 to 1. So,
well, if you want to learn more about saltwater inshore fishing, go see John at Bass Pro.
Yep, a little bit of everything will be talked about. And then next week we have the ladies' let's go fishing, so I'll be talking about that as well. So.
Cool. Well, I will see you at Bass Pro Shops next Saturday too then.
Perfect.
Awesome. Well, have a great day, John. Thanks so much again for your report. Appreciate
Thanks.
It.
You okay. guys have a great day. We'll talk to you.
You betcha. Talk soon.
All righty.
Bye-bye.
Bye. See you, Alex.
See ya.
That is Captain John Fetter calling in with Catching the Cure Charters. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So.
Hey, just real quick, too. The Gator Tom did call in a little earlier, and he thought that maybe we missed his little subtle text there.
his not-so-subtle text?
He referred to Nana Chiquita.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, we got it, Tom. But, you know, we're just not going to call attention to it. So I just wanted him to think that, you know, we weren't.
Yeah,
we weren't quite that slow,
and we don't bring up any of the yellow fruit.
We don't, and Nana Chiquita, we will say that till the cows come home. But as long as we're not saying the B word,
no B words.
I know we just got a minute or two left, but I want to mention real quick for like ESPN NFL football fans, John Clayton, who was known as a professor and was a longtime NFL ESPN analyst, passed away last night at the age of 67. So I just wanted to pass that along. A great long time ESPN. Anyone who's ever watched any NFL news or notes on NFL knows who John Clayton is. They called him the professor, passed away at 67 last night.
That's young. That's
yes.
really sad.
It just said after
hear.
A long time illness. So.
All right. Well, on another note, what is the deal with the gator behind your head, Rick?
Oh, there's a gator behind my head?
You did not know this?
I did not. I did not know.
There is a gator that is thumbtacked
yes.
to the bulletin board behind
gator.
Rick.
A rubber gator.
There's got to be a story there.
Okay.
And in fact, Pete Shepard texted me about, I think it has something to, I thought it had something to do with the golf show, but maybe not.
Oh.
You would know. You would know if it had something to do
yeah,
with the golf
nope,
show.
Yeah, nope, nothing to do with the golf show.
All right, well, we don't know about the random gator. We'll have to figure that out. That's the mystery gator on the board.
Now, I know from Facebook that Pete has a tendency to run into a lot of gators on the golf course that he plays, so maybe it has something to do with that. But
oh, that could be it. He should come fishing with me in the Everglades. He might
yeah.
see a few.
Yeah.
All right.
He'll bring the fruit.
Yeah, right. Oh, good. All right. It's that time again. We got to go. Thank you, Rick, the director of this show, for pressing the buttons and screening the calls. Thank you, Alex, for being here this morning. Remember to share your experiences, share your stories, and get someone new out on the water. Tight lines, everybody. We'll be back next Saturday. Same place, same time. Have a great weekend.
This one's for you. It's been a lovely cruise. I'm sorry it's ended, oh, it's sad, but it's true, honey.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.